Contemplation. Describing the reality of being pulled apart without being put back together, I label as stressed. I was disgusted with the negative results from other people's decisions and work. I decided to sit outside lighting a fire deep in the woods. The phrase going alone left me as an outcast of the outcast, but it didn't matter because I felt confident with my choice. After gathering a good amount of tinder and lighting gathered leaves, I grabbed a nearby log to sit on. When the flames flickered to life, at first there were short pops and fizzes until the heat took over the existing moisture in the wood. Accompanying the growing flames was an internal presence of manliness, along with the reasons for my departure from the group. I knew my work ethic and agreed with the way I do things. On that particular day, I decided that I needed to be alone to regain a sense of focus. Years prior, I had some difficulty with confidence and personal identity. I grew up the youngest in my family, and then I was the smallest in the group. While no one else afforded me special recognition, it was decided that I needed to value myself above others. I picked up the philosophy that if I didn't work to build myself up, then I would always be on the bottom rung, regardless of my social or monetary position in life. An outsider's perspective at that moment, I might have seemed aloof, because I verbalized my thoughts as they came to the surface. Self-talking out loud was a concept that I had read about some time ago as a form of therapy towards conflict resolution with one's problems. Along with me, I brought a small cage with my pet chipmunk that I had rescued after it was attacked by a black cat. I kept her for a little over a year, and then at the time she was my closest friend, and grew to be plump and comfortable in her own little world. There were many nights where she was nestled in her slumber in her cage besides my computer and desk light. She had built up a small mound of almonds, storing them in empty boxes of tea. It was still warm well into the month of October, and I decided that it was time to release her back into the wild. Nearby chirps of other chipmunks was heard along with the scatter of leaves and back and forth movement as they ran around and up the trees. I held her cupped in my palm and said my goodbyes before releasing her, which she ran quickly into the unseen distance. Momentary sorrow faded, though I really had grown attached to my familiar. I focused on the flames, took off my shoes and socks, grinding my feet into the moist, soft soil. I began to get a feel for my surroundings and rubbed my hands along my jeans before balling my hands into fists, resting them on opposite knees. Solidity was something that I needed, quiet time in nature with the warmth of fire gave me that. I realized that, not necessarily running off, but doing things on my own, wouldn't gain me popularity with the others. Particularly on this occasion, after releasing my chipmunk into the wilderness, at a moment of clarity. Strength is a word that I cherish. Often, it's subjective, being confined to physical limits. There is no doubting that I have found that taking care of my own physical health has strengthened most areas as well. The old biblical lesson, your body is your temple, was something that I never forgot. Some of the people that I disagree with avoid any form of physical labor, while others like to domineer in possessing a superior skill or bully because they're bigger. I placed a handful of leaves into the fire, causing temporary smoke, then added a couple of sticks. A few minutes later, I put my hand in my pocket, bringing out a bag of dried sage leaves. There was a bottle of water along a nearby tree, with an empty can of beans from one of my previous campfires. I grow herbs, sage being one of the few that I use the dried leaves to make tea with. Soon I had a hot can of sage tea, and I sat back down along the log. There were a couple of chipmunks not that far from me, and I wondered if one of them was my chipmunk that I had just released. I questioned whether I should have let her go, but seeing how happy the chipmunk seemed running into the woods along with the warm, warm weather, it was comfortable with my decision. One of the things that I have come to terms with is that I am not the most skilled of all people. Having the strength to admit one's own limitations, I consider a virtue. What I have the ability to do, I do it well, and I always work hard, and I'm always eager to learn. There have been many people that have been successful beyond the average person's imagination, that have been semi-skilled at one thing or another. Creativity is one of God's greatest gifts to humanity. I'm revolted when there's a lack of that kind of energy. Mental strength is a term defined to me once by a surgeon. He gave me a parallel compared exactly to what he determined to be mental strength. For the sake of tact, I won't explain the kind of person that he said lacks that acquired discipline. The surgeon said that it isn't something that he was born with. Rather, it was a discipline that through much pain and hard work effort, he acquired a level that he was comfortable with. He attributed his own form of mental strength as a reason for his successful surgical outcomes. Admitting that there are times during surgical procedures when there will be high-pressure situations that require mental strength to maintain control, and a lack of that can lead to devastating results, I recognize that we're only human, and as humans we fail. Working on our shortfalls allows us to become stronger as individuals. Alone in the woods, with a fire lit, deep in thought, I cast aside my personal dislikes that I had with that surgeon, trying to focus on thoughts that gave me strength to rein in my frayed sense of self. Sitting outside alone, I was grateful for this particular day. For some reason, releasing my chipmunk into the wilderness, sitting by a fire, deep in thought, I felt like I had accomplished something. The only other thing that I could compare this day to was when I was young and would attend church. Often I would sit beside a girl that I flirted with, sang church songs, listening to a sermon that left me feeling good about myself, full of faith. The difference was that I was by myself, deep in the woods, sitting by a fire, drinking sage tea, contemplating. They were not so closely related. However, being that I was talking to myself, I easily related to how I felt. Holding a stick, I poked around the embers, bringing the flames back to life, then took a look around. There was a lesson that I remember from a more experienced co-worker. The advice was this. When I want to get a measure of someone, I take a good look into their eyes. Not being a novice, I agreed, with the exception that long eye-to-eye stare-downs could be read many ways and also be intrusive. Insecurity often makes a person fear eye contact. When I was young, I had that problem. And when I had issues with dependency, I found that I didn't want to make eye contact with others, and more importantly, myself. A person that took effort to train me when I was young and learning a trade told me that you'd always tell how a person was by the way they worked. Being an outsider of the outsiders had its benefits. The pains of rejection isn't fun. Sometimes the scorn of others is unbearable. A day like this one left me reinvigorated, pulling back the reins of the mental horses that went separate ways. After the tin turned to ash, I took the last sip of the sage tea, put the empty water bottle back inside of the can, dropping it on the side of the tree where I left it. I cleaned off my feet, put on my socks and shoes, picked up my former chipmunk's cage, then began to walk out of the deep of the woods.